Radio Daily for Not Monday. Although not much better, I'm telling you, it's weird. We'll get to all that. I mean, hell, I can barely even record the show today. Hi, welcome to the 17th of April, 2018. Tis all the geek without the wait. Hello, and how the hell are you? We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us, you love us, sometimes you want to be us. There's no other way around it. That would have sounded much, much better if I had done that as a Patty Duke show theme. Oh, well, the folks bringing it to you today. Well, the man that's right there waiting to talk to you is the guy who is ready. Some would say overprepared for any situation he's ever in. That's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
You're wearing tuxedos to a job that requires you to clean bathrooms. Please leave this office.
And
you never know when you'll need a tuxedo.
And I'm the guy that sometimes rubs people the wrong way. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Your logic makes me feel like a dick.
I don't see how that's my fault. What happened this day, sir?
Well, in 1397, in the court of Richard II, Geoffrey Chaucer recites the Canterbury Tales for the first time. Scholars will later identify this as the date in 1387 on which the book's characters begin their pilgrimage to Canterbury.
And everyone looked at each other and went, ulcer on the knee?
What?
1924, a Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios form following a merger of the Louis B. Mayer Company, Goldwyn Pictures, and Metro Pictures.
The line doesn't come until Fred and Lewis buy him out of his contract over at Warner Brothers. 1957, Bell Laboratories announces the development of magnetic tape machine capable of transmitting 1,000 words per minute, 16 times faster than a conventional teletypewriter machine.
1957, the spacecraft Surveyor 3 is launched from Cape Kennedy, Florida, becoming the second U.S. spacecraft to make a soft landing on the moon, where it will study the lunar surface and send back more than 6,300 pictures to Earth.
Just kind of gently caresses the moon, yeah. 1968, AT&T unveils an experimental telephone at its annual meeting in Boston. The phone is smaller, lighter, and largely electronic. Its unveiling marks the beginning of the end for the rotary telephone. Get out of here, roundy boy.
1970, the Apollo 13 mission ends safely with a splashdown in the Pacific Ocean. The shuttle was crippled when a tank of liquid oxygen burst. Upon pulling the astronauts out of the ocean, they said, "The boy, what about the boy?"
And just a volleyball just kind of floating through there. We'll combine all the movies. 1979, Knight Ritter, or Knight Rider, depends on how you look at it, becomes the first U.S. newspaper publisher, has nothing to do with an AI talking car, to announce that it will undertake a Videotex project. Videotex is an early information service bearing a crude resemblance to the internet. The program is called the Viewtron, and of course replaces the older technology of CAR, kinetic amplification of radio recordings.
2000, aerial images based in Raleigh, North Carolina, post 5 recently released Russian spy satellite images of Area 51 on their website, taken by a Russian satellite. So many visitors hit the website to see the photos, the company will be forced to take them offline until additional hardware can be installed to handle the traffic volume. Most of that by Art Bell.
The anniversary is right after the day of his passing.
Coincidence? 2000. I think not.
Same day, same year, the United States State Department reveals that a laptop computer that held classified information disappeared from the Bureau of Intelligence and Research in February. According to Reuters, the computer may have contained code word information, a classification higher than top secret, including sensitive intelligence information and plans. Thankfully, all security in the government has been locked up tighter than a Pearl Jam concert.
2007, The Children of Hurin, written by J.R.R. Tolkien, but edited and released by his son Christopher from his dad's note nearly 90 years after his father began work, is finally published. It delves further into the history of the first age of Middle-earth, expanding upon a brief story that appears in the Silmarillion.
And I'm sure that the televised version will be appearing on MySpace here soon. 2009, the 1 billionth download from the Apple iTunes Store occurs.
That's probably Angry Birds or Candy Crush. 2014, NASA's Kepler confirms the discovery of the first Earth-sized planet in the habitable zone of another star.
Who's up for a field trip?
Birthdays.
Rooney Mara, 33 years old, Elm Street remake, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Prometheus, and Kubo and the Two Strings.
Jennifer Garner is 46 from Dude, Where's My Car, Alias, and Juno. Yeah, that's a good triad.
Sean Bean, 58 years old, from GoldenEye, Equilibrium, Lord of the Rings, We Don't Talk About Silent Hill, Percy Jackson, Game of Thrones. Look, if he's been in something, you know he's dead. But just keep in mind, he's still alive now.
I thought you were going to say died in and listed all the films. Olivia Hussey is 67 from Zeffirelli's Romeo and Juliet and played Norma Bates in Psycho 4, The Beginning.
I remember when we watched Romeo and Juliet in English class, and
right?
Everybody got so excited for that one particular scene.
Yeah.
Born this day, no longer with us, in 1598, Giovanni Battista Riccoli. He is known, among other things, for his experiments with pendulums and with falling bodies and for introducing the current scheme of lunar nomenclature.
1798, Antoine Baudelaire, French mathematician and academic. The crater Baudelaire on the moon is named after him.
1820, Alexander Cartwright, American firefighter, and invented baseball.
Ooh, 1891, George Domanski, Polish-American ufologist and author. He took many, many pictures of UFOs, not streetlights.
1905, Arthur Lake, Dagwood Bumstead in the Blondie films, radio, and television.
Because he could not let that role go. 1914, Mac Rayboy, illustrator of Fawcett Comics' Captain Marvel Jr. and the Sunday comic strip artist of Gordon for more than 20 years.
1918, William Holden, from Towering Inferno, Omen 2, and Network.
1940, Chuck Menville, American animator and screenwriter, worked on Land of the Lost, Star Trek the Animated Series, The Real Ghostbusters, Tiny Toon Adventures, Batman the Animated Series, so many things.
Well, no kidding. 1952, Joe Alasky. He was voice of Plucky Duck, Donald Duck in the 90s, and took over as Grandpa Pickles in 1997.
1954, Roddy Piper, just an incredible wrestler. They Live, Hell Comes to Frogtown, a couple of fantastic episodes of It's Always Sunny.
Every time you think you know the answers, I change the questions. And 1960, every character that Sean Bean has ever played that took place in modern day.
Damn tragedy right there. Shame.
Let's see if he dies on television tonight on CBS. God, he better not die tomorrow. I'm going to feel like such a jerk. On CBS, we've got a new NCIS. Bull NCIS. Nah.
ABC, it's a new Roseanne, Blackish, splitting up together. Then Sandra defends a mysterious client who is accused of assault on For the People.
NBC has a new The Voice, Rise in Chicago Med.
On Fox, it's a new Lethal Weapon, LA to Vegas, and New Girl.
CW, Barry and Team Flash figure out a way to enter the Thinker's Lair on a new Flash.
They open the door.
Black Lightning.
Just open the door. Freeform, Simon and Jace go to try to find out who's hunting them on a new Shadowhunters.
FX, David attempts to navigate through the maze on a new Legion.
FXX on The Simpsons, it's Homer the Great, Bart's Comet, and Bart versus Australia. Hell yeah.
IFC has Galaxy Quest. If you haven't seen it, watch it.
How have you not seen it? BBC America, Next Generation Marathon, including True Q and A Fistful of Datas. If you ever wanted to see Data with that horrible spaghetti western mustache, now is your chance, baby.
Fistful of Datas, the Tasha Yar story. Paramount Network has the new Ink Masters, Angels, and Ink Master regular vanilla version.
Sure. Sundance will be showing Pet Sematary. Cool. Followed by Pet Sematary 2, because I guess it's community service.
Oh, Flynn. No, it's fair.
Not a good movie, too.
TCM has the China Syndrome.
TBS has a new episode of the OG with Tracy Morgan, yo.
TNT has the last NBA game ever in the NBA Finals.
True TV, it's the Copernican Ruinissance on Adam Ruins Everything, but we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a woman appears of the perfect life with a charming husband, bright daughter, but behind closed doors, her husband is abusive and controlling, and when she tries to escape, the young woman she gets close to could be a dangerous companion. Cassandra Cerbo and Alex Paxton Beasley star in The Perfect Soulmate.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update. Sierra, Claire, Eve, and Brady anxiously await for the winner of the Bella contest to be revealed, with no clue that Sue Snell has been up to no good. Paul shares his suspicions about Leo with Will. But will Will listen? Will? Chloe has a tense confrontation with Kate, because we know how Kate feels about Lucas. Vivian realizes someone may be onto her plan, but since Amway was proven to not be a pyramid scheme, she laughs and pops open an excess caffeine-free sparkling juice energy mango pineapple guava. Hashtag Chappy forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Well, no, of course there isn't. So once you've got something, just drop a note. It's that simple. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. See, I don't always say something snarky about this. Sometimes I just go to the break.
As a young boy in Marshalline, Missouri, Walt Disney played Peter Pan in one of his favorite stories in a school play. He used to say in Disneyland, an adult is just a grown-up child. Well, here at the Neverland Podcast, we'll talk about heroes like Spider-Man, He-Man, and others that taught us how to do what's right because right makes might. We're like Saturday Morning's All in One Podcast. Join us every week to go to Disney and beyond at NeverlandPodcast.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Scott Ian from Battlestar Galactica and Anthrax, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. And you're rocking it, because that's just the kind of person you are. Kudos.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
But you do, and here is your chance. What's going on the shelf tonight, sir?
Killjoys Season 3 from our TV department.
The all-new Super Friends Hour Season 1, Volume 1, Volume 2. There's all kinds of Super Friends DVDs out again today. You should get them because some of them are actually entertaining without alcohol.
We've also got Claws Season 1. I don't know what
the
hell that
is. Is that based on the movie Claws? Because how do you do a show about a killer bear? Weird. Monster Hunter Stories, right on, Season 1, Part 2.
We also have Genius Season 1.
MST Season 11. That's right. If you don't have Netflix, you can buy all the episodes to have anytime you want instead of just streaming them from your connected device.
From our movies department, we've got The Post.
Deep Blue Sea 2, which is just a remake of the original without Samuel L. Jackson in that wonderful moment, possibly trying to cash in on the Meg.
Why? We also have The Commuter.
But if we're getting anything, it'll be the story of a grieving small-town doctor who befriends a single mom and her teenage daughter. But when the daughter is possessed by the same demon who once killed his own child, he must confront his past in order to save her soul. Clint Glenn Hummel, Charlene Amola, and Patricia Ashley star in A Demon Within.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Okay, so Stan Lee might not sue us after all. Just a day after telling you about the strange video featuring the comics legend threatening to sue any media outlet covering allegations of elder abuse and fraud surrounding his fortune, turns out now he's suing his former business manager for those exact same things. In a suit filed in Los Angeles Superior Court, Gerardo Olivares, who was an associate of Lee's daughter, JC, the suit alleges, Stan's wife died, this guy took over financial control, pocketed, you know, the money, got powers of attorney, and all this nonsense. And all the stuff that is in this thing that Stan Lee is suing about tie very closely to the accusations that we've been talking about. The, you know, blood, ink, money, blood, nonsense. It's weird. The suit, which seeks accounting of the stolen funds and commensurate restitution, paints, alongside Lee's Thursday video, an even more confusing picture of the inner circle of people there. Hopefully he'll be represented by Jennifer Walters as soon as she clears up her case with the Richards family and News Corp.
Billy Mitchell has a quasi-explanation. Billy Mitchell, whose entire playing record, including what was the first million-point game in Donkey Kong history, was thrown out on Thursday, issued a statement in which he vowed that a full explanation for his questioned performances will be given soon. Mitchell, speaking at the Midwest Gaming Classic in Milwaukee, I'm surprised he was allowed in the door, said the following to Old School Gamer magazine, of which he is a member of that publication's advisory board.
The fact of the matter is, now that there's a true professional due diligence being done to investigate things that happened as far as 35 years ago in a professional manner, not in a shock jock mentality designed to create hits, we will show that everything that has been done, everything was done professionally according to the rules, according to the scoreboard, the integrity that was set up, not 2014 forward by the current regime who wants to reach back 35 years. Everything will be transparent. Everything will be available. I wish I had it in my hands right now. I wish I could hand it to you. But it's taken a considerable amount of time, witnesses, documents, and everything. Everything will be made available to you. Nothing will be withheld.
Three of Mitchell's Donkey Kong performances, all 1 million points or more, had been under suspicion with the Donkey Kong high score community for some time. Especially for those who watched King of Kong. They were formally challenged in February under new score dispute process instituted by Twin Galaxies, the longtime high score authority, whose history is nearly as old as Mitchell's competitive career. The case against an all-time Donkey Kong great, explained Twin Galaxies, found that Mitchell had not earned his scores on an unaltered original arcade cabinet motherboard per Twin Galaxies submission requirements for the category. Not only did it invalidate Mitchell's Donkey Kong marks, it threw out every high score previously listed there, including the first perfect game of Pac-Man and banned him from further participation in their leaderboards. What explanation will forgive these charges? Well, none that we can think of. Maybe what Billy Mitchell really has is regrets. Acting!
The Power Rangers have made a ton of money. There have been so many knockoffs, and the Rangers themselves keep changing to attract a new fan base. Ninjas, dinosaurs, time travelers. There are still fandoms untapped. What knockoff does Toei I have up their sleeves to get older fans? Maybe folks like PRS?
Yeah, what about me?
How about moms with transforming spandex supersuits?
Go on.
Hero Mama League is coming, an online special focusing on three major ladies from Sentai shows past. Nenimi, Hurricane Blue from the Hurricangers, which was brought to America's Power Rangers Ninja Storm. Jasmine, Deca Yellow from the Deca Rangers, Power Rangers SPD. Hokura, Magipink from the Magirangers, Power Rangers Mystic Force. Played by the original actresses, all three women reprising their roles as former Sentai heroes turned moms who must now balance their dual responsibilities of motherhood and saving the planet from the mysterious space shinobi Deimos. So ninjas are involved. The special to be released via the Toei Tokusatsu fan club is scheduled for May 13th, Mother's Day in Japan. Listen, Saban, if you're looking for an idea to steal, you know, it's like that new Clarissa Explains It All, but with more ninja moves.
Ay, 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 ay. Notice me, Sentai. Now, the rest of the show is going to take a little bit of a downturn, guys. Some sad stuff. R. Lee Ermey, the gunnery sergeant turned actor who portrayed the scene-stealing drill instructor in Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket, died Sunday at the age of 74. Ermey's longtime manager, Bill Rogan, confirmed Ermey's death on the actor's Facebook page. It is with deep sadness that I regret to inform you all that R. Lee Ermey, the gunny, passed away this morning from complications of pneumonia. He will be greatly missed by all of us, Rogan wrote. Born in Emporia, Kansas in 1944, Robert Lee Ermey enlisted in the military in 1961, eventually becoming a drill sergeant during the Vietnam War. He was ultimately sent to Vietnam and served 14 months. After rising to the rank of staff sergeant, Ermey was medically discharged in 72 and began attending college in the Philippines, where Francis Ford Coppola was filming Apocalypse Now. Ermey served as a consultant and technical advisor in several war-themed films like Apocalypse Now, where he also had a bit part as a helicopter pilot. He was similarly hired in a consultant capacity for 1987's Full Metal Jacket, but Kubrick's difficulty casting the role of Gunnery Sergeant Hartman in his Vietnam epic opened the door for the ex-Marine to not only win it, but also improvise half of his dialogue and insults. His performance, of course, earned the actor a Best Supporting Actor nomination at the Golden Globes and kickstarted a fruitful 30-year career. Although he typically performed as an authoritarian or military man, he also portrayed police officers in films and, of course, was Briscoe County's senior. I mean, look, aside from Robert Culp, who else would play Bruce's dad, eh? He also had fun roles where he parodied himself in The Frighteners or even as Jimmy Lee Farnsworth, the televangelist in Fletch Lives. Rest easy, Gunny. We will take your lessons with us as we go, because we know you want that head so sanitary and squared away that the Virgin Mary herself will be proud to go in there and take a dump.
And on a crazy, even more personal loss for me, we have to say goodbye to Harry Anderson. Not many details available at this time, but comedian, actor, magician Harry the Hat was found dead in his home at age 65. Best known for being Judge Harry T. Stone on Night Court, he was also Harry the Hat in real life, as well as on Cheers, was Dave Barry in Dave's World, and showed up in the original It miniseries, going head-to-head against Tim Curry, which is any actor's dream. He was one of my major inspirations when I was a magic geek in the 80s, and I do mean tricks, not cards. Come on, I got a life. And I can do that damn needle trick he did on Saturday Night Live. I can do that. I can't do it at a moment's notice. I need some time, but I can do that trick. It's amazing. I have his book. You should know everything about him. Watch stuff. And he gave me some of the best advice I'll ever have in my life. Harry Anderson once said, "As you walk through life, my son, one day you're going to walk up to a man with a deck of cards, the seal of which ain't never been opened, and he's going to bet you money that he can make the Queen of Hearts rise up out of that deck and spit apple cider into your eye. Do not bet with this man, my son, for as sure as you do, you're going to lose your money. And you're going to end up with an eyeful of cider." GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial You know, Bull is inconsolable right now. And he's got to do a show tonight. Damn it. That guy, I don't know how he's going to... You can't make...
Does anybody know where Dan Fielding is? Have they found a local whorehouse around here? He might be suspected in this.
Someone check the bus station. Knock on the stall if it's closed. If someone says come in, don't. It's just that simple. It's what you do.
Might be at the nearest library. He's on that show.
Drop us a note at podcast@geekradiodaily.com. What if he's still hanging out with Bronson Pinchot? Huh, have to see about that.
Being ridiculous.
You know, we'll get back together at some time. But for right now, we got to go watch Night Court. Our Father who is art in heaven. You know.
Peace out, player.
Blah, 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 blah.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Damage averted. All systems operative.
Sean, how we doing? Okay, so this is a very, very simple scene. Basically, you're going to be looking for a deep cover operative right here in the CIA database when you get a very cryptic email.
And then what happens?
Then nothing, because that's it. Like I said, it's a simple scene.
All right, just get this straight. I'm looking into the database, mm-hmm. and then I get an email.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this email is so deadly, I have a heart attack.
No. You just a little look of surprise, really.
This keyboard, that's probably poison, isn't it?
No.
But it's not the piranhas.
What? You're typing on the keyboard, regular keyboard. You're looking at the CIA database, and a cryptic email comes in, and you just give a little look of surprise.
Look surprised because of tribal warriors that are firing darts into my bank.
No, this is legends. Why would there be tribal warriors?
To kill me.
Look, I know that you die in a lot of your roles. This is not one of those roles.
I mean, we're all dying, aren't we, really? I mean, every moment of our lives.